John from Down Goes Brown. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time and welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot.
So now, let's get it rolling here. So tell us a little bit about the website and what people can expect from DGV.
Oh boy, well, it's a blog that I've been running for just under 2 years now. It's just me. Pretty much just a basic, simple blog. And when I first started, it was a kind of a typical fan blog. I just posted whatever I happened to think about the games or whatever was going on with the team. And lately, I've been sort of moving away from that, and I've been trying to do a little bit more. Focus the blog a little bit more on, humor, getting some humor content up there, and basically just trying to make, hockey fans in general, but specifically Leaf fans, give them something to laugh about, because, it's kind of tough to make a Leaf fan smile these days, so I'm doing my best.
I guess everybody has their own little shtick, but you've really put it down to an art. I mean, I've always found it tough to, top whatever you're doing, and then all of a sudden you come up with something even better than the previous one. I mean, that must put a lot of pressure on your shoulders just to try to, keep that bar up high.
First of all, thanks. I'm glad you guys are, glad you're enjoying it. It's not really that much pressure, because like I said, it's a one-man show. I've got, nobody that I really have to answer to on it, so if I've got a bunch of great ideas and I can just really knock it out of the park all week, then that's great. And if I got nothing and the well is dry and I got to go a week with where I don't post anything, which, lately hasn't been all that unusual, then, I got nobody barking at me other than, a few readers who might notice and nag me on Twitter or somewhere. But, I can just kind of do it on my own schedule, so it's fun.
Now, you do a lot of extensive work on these blogs. How long does it usually take you to write something like that?
Actually, most of the stuff I write, it doesn't take me a long time. A lot of it, I can sit down and write a first draft pretty quick, half an hour, maybe an hour tops, and then usually, especially with the humor stuff, I like to kind of walk away from it, let it sit for a day, come back the next day, look at it, figure out, is it still funny? Was this just one of those things that was only funny to me?
You've got a special talent, because there are stand-up comedians that take months to write a routine that actually works for them, and you're managing to pull this off and sit on a dick, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, but you know what it is, though? It's because I know myself, and when I sit down to write humor, if I'm trying to be funny, I like to give it a day, just to come at it with a fresh set of eyes, but if I go any longer than that, it won't be funny anymore to me. If I leave it for 3 or 4 or 5 days, I'll see it enough that I won't think it's funny anymore, and it'll just start to annoy me, and then, a lot of times, that's when stuff just doesn't go up. I mean, a fair amount of the stuff that I end up writing never gets posted, because at the end, I just can't get it to the point where I feel like it's good enough, or I just can't quite get it to work the way I want, and
makes that feeling too sometimes, where you seem to work on something and it was great when it was a seed, but it doesn't really play out when you try to kind of put pen to paper over the course of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know how it is for other people, but I know for me, if I think I got a good concept and something that's going to be funny, if I sit down and write it, it'll kind of write itself.
Yeah, exactly.
And it'll go quick. And if I'm struggling with it, then, what happens to me a lot is I might sit down and I might have 2 or 3 great lines, but that's not enough for a whole post.
Yeah.
And if I can't fill it in, then I don't have a post. Maybe I got a couple of, funny things to throw up on Twitter, but...
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it. So, it all depends. There have been times where, I find it really easy to write the stuff, and lately, I haven't been posting that much because I just, I haven't felt like I've really got something that's real good, but then, usually the good old Leafs will go and do something so ridiculous that it...
You'll find content for a long time.
Exactly.
How upset were you that Kyle Wellwood went to camp in pretty decent shape?
That did hurt, but, my Kyle Wellwood stick has only ever been loosely based on reality, so I'm not too worried. I mean, he could go out and get himself ripped and be Mr. Universe, and I'll still be making fun of him for being too fat, because that's why it's funny, right? I mean, it's making fun of, calling somebody fat when they really are fat,
is not funny.
That's just mean. Calling somebody fat when they're like 5 pounds overweight and, you know, actually probably in better shape than me and 95% of the people who read my blog. I mean, that's where it is kind of funny, or at least, you know, that's where some of the humor comes from on that. So I'll keep calling him fat right up until the moment that he, you know, tracks me down and tries to
Would you consider doing that? He's a pretty big boy and he usually comes in overweight.
Yeah, well, but I could outrun him.
Well, he came into camp pretty in pretty good shape too, and you see the results on the board. So
I saw it, but I saw his. Did you see the big highlight goal a couple of nights ago in the dying seconds where he went end to end?
Yeah.
He beat out the whole team, but he scored half a second too late. So
it only took about 45 seconds to go from end to end, mind you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he might be in better shape, but obviously there were a couple of pounds more if he had lost. And, you know, that maybe that goal would have counted. So it's
It's actually funny because I like Petter. I think that he was very underrated going into this season, and then I realized that, I found out that he made a conscious effort to trim down and get into better shape, better fitness, and then I heard that Wellwood did the same thing, and there's a lot of players that came to camp in pretty good shape, and it was funny because I kept hearing the big fat Kyle Wellwood joke in the back of my head every time I heard about a player going to training camp in great shape. But, okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk something specifically about the Leafs. You're not based out of Toronto, so it must be a bit difficult to try to follow. Or maybe is it better that you have a bit of a buffer?
You know, these days there's not really that much of a buffer anymore because everything's online.
Right.
So I probably read more of the local coverage of the Leafs now than I ever did when I lived in Toronto. Because back then, I might pick up one or two papers, whereas today I can sit down and read everything if I want to. So, you know, I'm there. The one thing I miss is the radio. Because I'm, I don't get to listen to much of that. I used to be a big, you know, fan 590 guy.
Right.
But I don't know really how much I miss that because, you know, there really is no dumber fan out there than the people who call to call and kill. And I'm one of those guys. You guys know one of the things that really gets me going is when people get on about Leaf fans, these dumb Leaf fans and this and that, and, you know, I think it's a myth. I think Leaf fans are great. I think they're, you know, some of the best fans out there. But, you know, there's a little asterisk next to it for the ones who call the call-in shows because some of that stuff is just ridiculous. So I don't
know. People would actually confuse passion with logic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're lucky that this one is just a recorded show, so there's no live call trees today.
Yeah.
But who knows, maybe if we grow, you might be able to answer some questions from some air flu kids.
Oh, that would be fun.
So let's try to get a little bit of a feeling on your part. The Leafs are scheduled to go on a 5-game road trip now. We all know the situation. How do you feel about the upcoming, should we call it the road trip of doom?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the road trip itself shouldn't be too bad because, I mean, they got a game in Vancouver and a game in Montreal, so both of those games will be played in front of 50% Leaf fans. And then they got a game in Buffalo, so that'll be 90% Leaf fans.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to be too much of hostile territory, but, I don't know. I know that you talk to Leaf fans and there's everyone from, you know, people who think the sky is falling to people who think this is just a blip. I gotta be honest, I'm not overly optimistic right now.
Okay.
With what I see. The good news of it is I look at this team and I don't see a last place overall team. So I don't feel like Burke has gone and traded away Taylor Hall or any of this stuff, or that Boston's gonna wind up with a couple of real high picks like this. Yeah, but the flip side of it is, I think it's becoming pretty clear that this team is not anywhere near as good as we were hoping it was going to be.
Right.
I was one of those. I bought in. I thought that this team could, if not make the playoffs, at least really compete for the playoffs and play meaningful games, you know, into March and April, and not do like some of the Ferguson era teams where they're 10 points out of the playoffs when it matters, but then they go on a late season win streak and it winds up looking good. I really thought that this was a team that could get into that kind of low 90s range that puts you into the playoff discussion, And, you know, I just don't see it now. I mean, I don't see any indication that the team is going to get, you know, is going to play better. And the fact of it is, if they want to be a 92 or a 93-point team, they've got to play at 100-point pace for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because they've left so many points on the table, you know, for seven games.
From what you see from the team that's Ryan Burke and Ryan Wilson and Bill, excuse me, when you look at them on paper, what do you actually think of the team?
Well, I mean, on paper, I think it's a solid team. I think they, you know, when you look at the parts that they added to the team from last year, you know, that's why I don't feel like this is a last place overall team, because they've added to, you know, the teams they've had in the past few years, which weren't good teams, but weren't teams that were challenging for last place.
That's a very good point.
So I have a hard time looking at this year's team and saying this team is going to be 10 or 15 points worse than they were last year.
That's a good point, too.
Now, that said, so far the guys they've added, you know, haven't really been fitting in. The bigger concern for me is, you know, what makes or breaks a season. You can analyze the teams on paper, and you can sit down and look at last year's stats and say, okay, if they put the same numbers up. But the reason that these predictions never end up meaning anything is because what makes or breaks a season is two questions. Who are the guys that you're expecting a lot from who have lousy seasons, and who are the guys that you maybe weren't expecting that much from who go on to have career years, or, you know, or who make that, young players who make that leap that maybe you weren't expecting them to make. You know, any team that makes any sort of significant steps up, like you look at a team like Boston last year, you can always look down the roster and you'll find a couple of guys that, you know, made that jump. And when you look at the Leafs, you know, especially as a team that's fairly young, you can sit down at the beginning of the season and you can look at any of, you know, a half dozen guys and say, we need a couple of those guys to really step up and exceed expectations. And so far, none of the guys are doing it. There's not a single player on the team who's having a career year, and there's a ton of players on the team who look like they're having a career worst year.
It's probably going to be that way for the rest of the season, the way that it's playing out. You're right, but at the same time, I kind of like to try to give it a more longer-term view. I don't want to base what the Leafs are doing based on the current situation, and even to that extent, this current season, I still think that they're in a bit of a transitional period, just like last year, where they're still trying to find themselves. It's not likely that this is a team that they're going to be moving forward with. There's going to be some kind of change, at least with all the contracts coming off the books. So I think going forward, they're not as it's not as dismal as people believe, or may seem to overreact to what's going on now, but it's hard. It's hard to watch, and it's hard to live through this dark period, too. So, you know, and I think it's even more difficult to do that living in the city. The city is pretty hard on its athletes, and especially when it comes to the Leafs.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing about it is not having the first-round pick changes the whole dynamic as a fan. Because, you know, even in the worst year, in theory, you can still look ahead and say, okay, even if the absolute worst happens and we're last place, we're going to have a high pick, we're going to get a potential future franchise player.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's going to be a real story going forward, assuming that the Leafs don't, you know, miraculously turn it around and then suddenly, like I say, start playing at a 100-point pace for the rest of the year, which they're not going to do, because that's, even in the best years of Pat Burns and Pat Quinn, those were 100-point teams.
Right.
So this team isn't going to suddenly turn into the 93 or the,
yeah,
you know, 2005 Leafs. So, you know, the big question is going to be, assuming that they go through the year and they're not a very good team, how does Burke play this? Because he doesn't have that first-round pick. He's the guy who traded it away. And we've been through this, you know, once before, for those of us that are old enough to remember back in 1991, when, you know, the same deal. The Leafs didn't have their first pick. They were far worse than anybody thought they were going to be. They were challenging for last place. And, you know, back then, they took what you could call the easy way, which is they went out, they didn't try to get younger, they didn't try to get the young guys more time and see what they had. They went out and got older. Right. They traded draft picks and young players for veterans to come in to make sure that they would be as good as possible and they wouldn't finish last overall.
Right.
I think it's going to be real interesting to see, you know, how does Burke handle this if, let's say at the deadline, the Leafs are 10 points out of a playoff spot and 5 points out of last place overall. And they've got a couple of veterans that teams are asking about. Does he go and trade guys to try to pick up draft picks, to try to pick up prospects, knowing that could just push him further down the standings and push him closer to being the guy who traded away a first overall pick? Or does he, you know, resist that and keep the roster as much as he can to try to finish as high as he can, or even, God forbid, go and, you know, trade youth and picks for veterans that are going to just, you know, bump up the standings and save a little face for him? I think that's going to be a major question, and I hope that Burke's got enough guts and enough job security to do the right thing and keep rebuilding, even if it means that Boston winds up with a first overall pick. But, I'm not sure. And you talk about the only thing worse than a last place season when you're a rebuilding team is going and trading away a big chunk of your rebuild just so that you finish third or fourth last.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the ultimate disaster. That's the worst case scenario, and I really hope that Burke's strong enough not to go down that road, at least.
Okay, now, Sean, for those who want to go and view your blogs, where can they go?
They can go to downgoesground.com, and they can also follow on Twitter at downgoesground.
Perfect. Sean, thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Okay.
And we hope to talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Stick Work with Adam Katz. We have a special guest with us from MapleLeafTalkSales.com. Gentleman by the name of Garrett Bauman. Garrett, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's start it off here. I was reading a blog briefly that you had written, kind of like a rumor mill of sort. Now, what's the latest with Kessel? When is he expected to be returning?
Well, Kessel, there's a number of different timelines that have been put out there. Most people feel it'll be within the first 2 weeks of November. I would hedge and say mid-November, probably, barring any setbacks.
See, I'm kind of hoping it's earlier because I'm going down to Carolina to watch the Leafs on November 6th, and I really would like to see him, but I guess we're not going to be that lucky after all.
I guess at this point, you know, the sooner the better. There was some line of thinking that he could be ready by the first week, but conventional wisdom says week of the 15th is like this.
Okay. Now, as for Saturday, rumor has it that Coleman and Mayers are possible scratches. I've also heard that Luke Shen might possibly sit. How much credence is there to that rumor?
Well, there's some. It's funny, I was on Twitter this morning and it absolutely exploded when that talk came out. I guess it, in practice, they had him as the seventh rotating in with the other pairings, so that's where the talk came from. Now, whether or not it's just something they were experimenting with in practice and will follow through, I don't know. I would imagine the final decision would be made during the game day skate.
Right. Now, seeing that Shen is struggling, if you were in Ron Wilson's shoes, do you think that maybe it would be a good idea to sit him?
Well, I think it would certainly send a pretty big message, yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a bad move. If a player's struggling, then that's something you need to do. I mean, the best group that's playing is the group that should play, and I don't think you should necessarily set your team back by continuing to play a struggling player if he needs to be sat for a game, and if the coaching staff feels that's the right decision, then I don't think it's necessarily a bad move.
Right. Now, Gus and I discussed this earlier. We were talking about the possibility of benching Jason Blake. Last year, it worked wonders when he sat, because it definitely lit a fire in his ass, and he was probably one of the best Leafs up front. Do you think that maybe Jason Blake should sit as well?
I think if he continues to struggle, yes. And you can say that for a lot of players on the team right now, the way the season started, and you can only sit two guys a game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Last year it did work for him, and there's been some surprise throughout Leaf Nation, if you've been reading the blogs, that he hasn't been sat yet. I would imagine if the effort doesn't pick up, his turn in the press box will be coming soon.
Right. You know, though, there's one thing about this, though. I thought that when Ron Wilson was telling the Leaf players to shoot more, I thought that Jason Blake took that to heart the most. And that's part of his game. He's got to be able to put the puck on the net.
Oh, that's true. And nobody for Toronto puts the puck on the net more than Jason Blake, although I'm not sure Ron Wilson was saying, when he said shoot more, I'm not sure he was suggesting shoot from 40 feet out.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
And you know it as well as
everybody listening. You can take one of those 40-foot shots and make a positive out of it. If it happens to go in, and that's the one that kind of turns the tide on your confidence.
But the percentages don't always hold to that going in. It would depend on the situation, obviously, where you are on the ice, et cetera. So.
Now, the one thing I noticed with Jason Blake last year is that he was crashing the net more. He seems to be getting better at doing it again earlier in the year, or as the year progresses. But, I mean, I understand it's 7 games into the season, so he's probably just trying to get his feet wet. You know, maybe if he goes back to doing what made him successful, that could definitely help. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think that's true of a lot of players again. And I think Jason Blake, the last 2 seasons in Toronto, has started a bit slowly both times. I think he is a player that does take him a while in the season to get his feet wet. So we'll see what happens with him. If he can get back to that, certainly it would lead to a much higher rate of success.
Right. Now, the Leafs are about to embark on a 5-game road trip that takes them across 3 different time zones. How much is that travel going to affect the team's play?
That's a really good question. They're playing every 2 days, I believe, with the exception of the final 2 games, which are Friday and Saturday, I think, Buffalo and Montreal. So there's not a lot of travel time there. I think between Anaheim and Dallas is maybe the leg of the trip that you have to worry about most, and that's certainly the greatest distance to travel. And it could have an impact. It does have an impact. I think you can see it throughout the league when you look at results and the schedule, and that's not encouraging news for a team looking for some wins, but you know, the schedule is what it is. And
I was just going to lead to that point that you just mentioned, that this team is 0-6-1 and they're going on a 5-game road trip.
Yeah.
This might not be the remedy to get off the schneid.
It might and it might not. You have to hope, I was about to say, that they can rotate in the right group and in a fresh group. You have to hope that you're not looking at, say, the same player sitting in the press box 3 games in a row. That's one way, frankly, to have a couple of pairs of fresh legs out there is to rotate in and out like that throughout a few games. 0-6-1 going on a road trip isn't necessarily a bad thing. Home ice for Toronto is a pressure cooker, no matter how well you're doing in the season, and no more than now, obviously, with the start they've had, and maybe just getting away from that can be a good thing for the team and can allow them to find their game a little bit.
Right.
Sort of feeling that heat.
You know, Garrett, I was thinking that, especially the point about how big of a pressure cooker it is here, like they're going into Vancouver, there's already a little bit of bad blood apparently through, upper management doesn't really have a good relationship with Vancouver side, and, you know, it's also a very heavy Toronto favorite city as well. You know,
yeah,
a lot of Leafs fans that go out into Vancouver. I think that there's still a focus on the Leafs, but maybe not so much in their faces. It's not on their TV sets. It's not on in the papers that they're going to be reading. Well, maybe a little bit in Vancouver. But then you have another storyline where you go down to Anaheim, and it's the first time Burke goes back with his new look club.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if Dennis Jaguar isn't fully healthy, it could be against the former Leafs future goaltender in Justin Bogey. How do you think about that?
That would be a unique scenario, that's for sure. I don't know what the status on Pogge is. I heard he got called up, and then I thought I heard something about him being sent back down.
It all depends on how J.S. Jaguar feels. But it would be an interesting scenario, and it would probably be a very big pay-per-view game if they really wanted to put it in there.
It would be in some ways ironic if that turned out to be the Leafs' first win of the season, that's for sure. And Anaheim is a winnable game. The Ducks have struggled out of the gate this year.
So. Yeah, but so is Vancouver. So is Dallas.
Absolutely.
They're together.
It is. Vancouver, Roberto Luongo starts slow every year. He's notorious for that. This year's been no different. So if you're going to beat him, this is the time to do it before he does get hot. Dallas, I think that game will depend on largely on the status of Brad Richards, how he's doing. So, yeah.
There's a chance about a few days ago, and you were talking about Chicken Little and making a reference to him. Now, this is back when the team was 0-4. Now they're 0-7. Is Chicken Little ready to convince people that the sky is falling?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's a tough situation, but I suppose it depends on how you're gauging this season. Most of the cause for worry and the cause for panic has to do with those two first-round picks being moved for Phil Kessel. And with the draft picks this year being moved, and the fear that Toronto will end up having given a lottery pick to Boston. And had that deal not gone through, there wouldn't be this degree of panic. You know, if this 0-7 start, if this was last season, there wouldn't be this degree of panic when there were no expectations and a high pick was what everyone was gunning for. Well, now you've got Kessel instead of that first-round pick, and there's a worry about, well, will Taylor Hall or will Seguin wind up in Boston? And it's a legitimate worry, but, you know, we're 7 games, and the lottery pick's not going to be determined for some time yet. So if you're looking at this club and hoping for a playoff run or playoff appearance this year, then, yeah, I think there's a cause for disappointment and a cause for worry and panic. A playoff spot might be difficult to reach. If you're looking at this season for building the core of a future roster and for hopefully developing a few players and then making some small improvements along the way, then I don't think there's any cause for concern with the 0-7 start, and I don't believe this team will end up having given a lottery pick to Boston.
Right, so in other words, for Leafs fans, they just need to be patient and they need to see things in a completely different perspective.
Well, I think so. I mean, perspective is everything, right? And so, again, if your perspective is, well, you know, this team's going to finish bottom five, then, yeah, there is cause for panic. And if your, you know, perspective is this should be a playoff team, then there's cause for worry. Myself, my own perspective is I'm curious about the core of the future roster that the team is putting together and how well that can gel and sort of what holes from last year will look like they're filled, or will, what areas of weakness from last year will, at the end of this year, look like an area of strength to build on and move forward. And there's lots of time yet in the season to turn those weaknesses into strengths.
Well, folks, you heard from Garrett. Just be patient. Just wait. This team is going to be good in the future. Now, Garrett, if people want to read your blogs, where can they find you?
MapleLeafHotStove.com is that's where I post. That's where I write on occasion, along with a team of many other talented and gifted writers that I'm proud to be associated with.
Yes, in fact, I'm associated with one of them right now, who's sitting right next to me.
Nice.
Okay, I'm a little bit of a liar. I'm just trying to blow smoke up his ass, let's be honest. Well, Garrett, thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it, and we hope to hear from you soon.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. Thanks, guys.
That's all the time we have here on Stick Work with Fab and Katz. Thank you to Sean from downgoesbrown.com. You can check him out on that website. Again, it's downgoesbrown.com. And thank you to MLHS's own Garrett Bauman. You can catch his blogs on MapleLeafsHotStove.com.
And a very special thank you to Alec Brownstone for allowing us to house this podcast here on the site. And we hope that everybody enjoyed the inaugural show and come back every week.
See ya.